Let's lift up our hands to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Hallelujah. The one who was, which is, and which is to come. Hallelujah. The Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the living word tonight that we have the privilege to share into. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of receiving, learning from your word. We thank you for the mighty teacher, the Holy Spirit. We trust him tonight to give us answers, solutions, insights, concepts, understanding. We thank you that he will reveal the word of God unto our spirits, and we posture ourselves reverently toward your word and reverently and respectfully toward the Holy Scriptures as we be taught tonight in Jesus' name, all to the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. 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 All right. As we get started, we do have a couple more, several more books. Brother Steve, if you would, if anyone needs a book to read with us, and of course, that we have our agenda, our program agenda this month in the School of the Holy Spirit is that you read the Holy Spirit and his gifts books, because we want to be more active and activating our gifts and ministries, the ministry of gifts and the assignments that God has given us in the kingdom of God. Amen. We don't want you to be ignorant of them. So it's part of what we are endeavoring to do. Last month, we focused on the person of the Holy Spirit. So our book was The Holy Spirit, An Introduction by John Brevere, and we had the video teaching. And then this month, we're teaching on the gifts, manifestations, demonstrations, and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about part of the power of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All right? So did everybody get a book that wanted one? If you have a book, you didn't bring it, you don't have to get a new one. So just make sure everybody's not getting duplicate books. All right. And then also tonight we want you to turn in your gifts assessment. So you have your gifts assessment. Get that ready, and so we'll be able to process those and get those going. Amen. Praise God. If you need a gifts assessment, it's online at the CCB website, under the group files, so you can download the PDF and complete it, or print it out and complete it and just turn it in. Amen. That's our assignment. Amen. And then we take that gifts assessment and take it to the Holy Spirit. Ask him, is this me? Am I gifted in these areas? Are these my dominant spiritual motivations and giftings? And then, of course, we want to be able to catalog those. There's a file in CCB for you to catalog those. And then, of course, we want everyone to have a, you know, plan from God. You know, how do I grow in my giftedness and grow in the things that God has given me? So tonight we're going to be talking about some introductory things about activating those things that are in you. And then we'll go from there. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start there. And then turn and hold your place at Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. So just keep that as a placeholder, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 1. And that says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. And ignorance is an area where you're misinformed, or you do not know something, or you're wrong about something. So ignorance covers those respective areas. Now, in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts, gifts is the word italicized. So it's put in there at the discretion of the translators. And so we know spiritual is the actual word. This word, pneumatikos, in the Greek, literally means things of the spirit. It is means spiritualities or things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost. And grace made specific, grace made manifest. So things pertaining to the Holy Spirit, spiritual things, things of the Spirit, grace made manifest, grace made specific. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about those things. So that's everything from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So you receive all of the person of the Holy Spirit at the new birth. You receive all of the power of the Holy Spirit at the infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two separate experience, one subsequent to salvation, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, then you have your spiritual giftedness, the ministries, as you see our chart in front. We have the ministry gifts. We have spiritual gifts. And we have ministries in the local church. Amen? And then we'll keep reading, and we'll see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Revelation gifts of the Spirit, the power gifts of the Spirit, and the vocal gifts of the Spirit. So let's keep reading. Let's look at verse 2. Verse 2, we see, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh in all in all. But the manifestations, which means, this word means open to sight or to be visible. Open to sight or be visible. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man. Everybody say every man.
Every man.
To profit everybody or profit with all. So you can say every man has been given manifestations to profit everybody. So your giftedness has a purpose. What the Holy Spirit has deposited in you by the Lord Jesus Christ, Word of God, is to profit everybody, others. Amen. The body. To minister to the body. So to everyone, everybody say, for to one is given the word of wisdom, verse 8, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one is self-same Spirit, dividing to every man, everybody say every man, severally as he will. Amen. Every man severally as the Spirit will. So they're given as the Spirit wants them distributed. They're distributed and given as the Spirit wills. So that means we can't just do whatever we want. Amen. God, the Holy Spirit's in charge of that department. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit are under the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. All right. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And then we'll start at verse 7. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 15. All right, verse 7. But unto every one of us, everybody say every one of us, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So every one of us is given a grace. A gift of grace, meaning you couldn't earn it, deserve it, or merit it. It was an endowment, a deposit put in you because you received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You became born again. God gave you stuff, good stuff. Everybody say, I got good stuff.
I got good stuff.
So you've been given a grace, something you couldn't merit or deserve. And God had a purpose and plan for that grace that he's that grace deposit, that gift of endowment that he has deposited within you. Amen. So everybody say, I have a grace,
I have a grace.
From God. Amen. Now let's look at verse 15. We'll get into the body purpose. But speaking the truth in love, because he tells us not to be children, he tells us that we got to grow up and all this other good stuff, this is good stuff. And he said, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, the New King James says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies. Everybody say, every joint supplies.
Every joint supplies.
According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everybody say, every part does its share. Two things coming together causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Isn't that good? So we discovered, and I'm just reviewing a little bit, part one, this is part two. We discovered that there is a compacting of the body that has to occur. There's a directive for us to come together, knit together, because we've been knit together in Jesus. We've been knit together in Jesus. Everybody say, I have. Been knit together in Jesus. So you're knit, spiritually speaking, universally, to the general overall body of Christ. You've been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. You've been immersed into the body. You are a part, P-A-R-T, of the body. Amen. You are a body part. But then God assigns you, because that's God's department in his overall operation. He sets members in the body, every one of them, as it pleases who? Pleases him. That's 1 Corinthians 12:18. So in other words, God tells you where to go locally, because there's a general universal spiritual body of Christ, right? Both in heaven and earth. You know, part of the body's gone to heaven, right? And then there's a part that's down earth. But he has a local body that he assigns you to. God sets him in there. And then, of course, verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12 said he sets gifts in the church. So he sets members in the body and gifts in the church. Amen. So when you go to a church, you're not just going to sit. You're going to serve in your giftedness. Does that make sense? And we're going to see a little bit more of that tonight as we get further into the lesson. So we said the body is our what? Divine calling. So you're called to a person and people first. Not called to do what first, you called to who first. The who determines the what. Amen. The manifestations of the Spirit are given to minister to Jesus by ministering to his body. Every one of us, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, that means everybody, to do what? To profit everybody. So the gifts of the Spirit are not to build me up, but to build the body up. To benefit, we said, bless, and build up the body. You have your giftedness for those three major reasons. To benefit, everybody say benefit.
Benefit.
To bless, and to build up the body. Now, there's a key when we come together to make increase, because that's what we come together for, the compacting of the body. So correlating our human body to the spiritual body of believers as a church or assembly, get assembling together, assembling requires parts. Parts are equivalent to body parts. We're not talking about car parts, but in a figurative speaking, all the parts could be in the garage. But there's some assembly required for it to function and turn on and work, right?
Yes.
Amen. So you can have the tires sitting on the floor over here and the engine over here and the transmission over here and all that other stuff, but it has to be assembled together, right? What happens in a church? Now you got to think with me now. You put on your thinking tanks. And take out your pen and paper because I'm going to give you a lot of good nuggets tonight. So what has to happen in the church? We have to be at some assemblies required. Assemblies required. Now you let the Holy Spirit minister to you and talk to you about assembling. Because Jesus didn't say forsake, just forsake not coming to church. He said forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Isn't that right? So to make increase of the body, we have to compact the body. We have to assemble together. We knit together in Jesus, but there's an assembly. There's two keys to contribute to increase. And the premise is this: you're either making increase or contributing to increase, or you're doing what? Going the other way, contributing to decrease. Right? You know, that's not a good thing. All right, so two keys. Everyone has a supply to make. Because that does what? It contributes increase. He said that in Ephesians 4:15. When we compact together, we make increase of the body. By which every joint, everybody say every joint, supplies. So you, everybody has a supply to make. Everybody say,
I have
a supply to make.
So
there's this, we went through it last week. You can download the recording online or through the app or get the notes. I don't know if there's notes out there or not for this, but so you there's a supply to make. So you have a spiritual supply. Somebody tell me what another one was. What are some examples of spiritual plots? Somebody tell me. From last week. Come on now. Prayer, right? Confessions of faith, right? Amen. The anointing. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tonight. You contribute supply. You make spiritual supply. Amen? Then there's natural supply. Natural supply was things like your talent, your experiences, your education. Those are natural supplies. And then there are resource supplies, right? There are financial resources, material resources, equipment resources, right? So those are resource supplies. Natural resources is also time, energy, amen, all those things that come into bear. So you make a supply. Everyone makes a supply, and then everyone has to work effectively. Now, I think, didn't you show me a definition of effectively that you looked up last week? Or do you still have it? Okay, if you can look it up. So, everyone has to work effectively. Now, what does working effectively mean? Now, again, it'd be good to throw out it out all out theory, and everybody leaves here well with theory, but no practical application. So when we talk about supplying, God is very specific. He wants you to understand that this is not vague nebula. If I'm making supply, I ought to know I'm making supply. Right? And because if I have a requirement when I come to church to make supply, then it's common sense. It should be good Christian sense to just go ahead and make supply. Amen? All right. And then to work, everyone works effectively. So what do you have? In a way that produces a desired result. Right. In a way that produces a desired result in an effective manner. Amen. In a way that produces the desired result in an effective manner. Praise God. Work effectively. Results producing. Amen. And then we said every believer has a place, a grace, a gift, and a part to contribute increase to the body. Everybody say, I have a place. I have a grace, I have a gift, and I have a part to contribute increase to the body. Now, take these notes down, write these four things down. I'm going to give you body building keys. Now, here's the opening statement. I'm not going to give you a key yet. I'm just giving you this opening statement. Too many Christians are functioning in life as a spiritual amputee. They're unattached to the body. You say, get in your place and get in your grace. Amen? When you get out of your place, you get out of your grace. And you fall on your face. Amen. All right, so the body is a beautiful picture. Key number one, body is a beautiful picture of the local church. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12, you can write that scripture up and down. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Key number two, the greater our diversity, the greater our strength. The greater our diversity, the greater our strength. Revelation 7, 9, you can write that down. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 19, not everybody's the same part. Now, we don't have a whole church of ear parts. We can only hear then, right? So there's different parts of the body. Revelation 7, 9, Galatians 3, 28 and 29. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 19. Key number three, our value is determined by our participation, not our position. I'll say it again. Our value is determined by our participation, not our position. So religious tradition kind of thinks that the pastor is the only position of value. That's not true. The scriptures teach even the most feeble body parts are most necessary, and they are bestowed upon them just as much honor. Amen? So everybody say, there's no insignificant callings. Or gifts. There's no low calling. We press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, my calling in Christ is a high calling. Amen. So key number three again, our value is determined by our participation, not our position. So you can't look at the hand and say, I don't have need of you. Or if you say to the ear, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. There's not that it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12 again gives us a lot of indication of that. Now, key number four. We build a stronger body when we choose to belong. We build a stronger body when we choose to belong. You notice Pastor Cynthia said in the opening greeting, he said, welcome to your church. Now, you have to take personal ownership. Say, this is my church. Amen? I'm a part of this body. This is my spiritual family. Remember, God doesn't want us walking around like spiritual amputees or, you know, the B word, children. You can put the end of it on there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Fatherless or coverless. Amen. So we want to be a part of the body. Amen. So that's very important to keys to embrace. We need to know that our value is determined by our participation. So God rewards faithfulness and fruitfulness. That means we're working to produce fruit. The fruit of more souls, right? The fruit of mature spirituality, the fruit of manifested scriptures, and the fruit of material substance. God is glorified, John 15 conveys to us, when we bear much fruit. Amen. He's bearing fruit. So we must embrace our call individually and collectively as both parts of the body and as the whole body, as the local church. Because remember, the body is our divine calling. Amen. Isn't that good? And we said this again, say it again. Every believer has a particular calling, a particular purpose which you've been assigned to you before you were born. So every believer has been called to carry out a particular purpose, and that's a high calling. It's not limited to the pulpit. God has called you to carry out a particular function, just like if you were a pancreas or your liver. How many of you know a liver is important? It's not seen, but that liver is important. Those kidneys are important. They are important functions in the body, right? So they're not visible, but man, are they necessary. Right? Isn't your heart necessary? Oh my goodness, it is. Amen? So you have to, by God, embrace that thought. Ministry is occupying your position as assigned by God. Vision is divine insight into God's plans for you. You have a ministry, and it's your duty to discover it. Everybody say, I have a ministry, and I am a minister. Now, again, we said effective church thinking is every member is a minister. That's when we start really getting in our place and getting in our grace. Locate your ministry and begin to manifest it. The future of every believer depends on the discovery of his or her calling. No calling is of low status. Every calling, every function is a high calling. Every calling culminates in glory. Every member of a king's body has a royal aroma. You are a part of the body of the anointed one and his anointing. You are part of the body of Christ. So if you're a part of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, that means, you know, you don't call the head John and call the body Oliver Sacquot. The body is one body. Jesus is the head, you're a part of the body. Oh, that's good to chew on tonight. Amen. Everybody say, I am a part of the body of Christ. All right. So you must embrace that understanding. Amen. Now, let's talk about the anointing. And we're going to get into some things real quick and show you a quick video in just a second. So, Tristan, if you get that ready. Because part of this grace, and I want you to turn to 1 John 2, 1 John 2, as we kick into this second part here. 1 John 2, 1 John 2, verse 20. 1 John 2, verse 20. Verse 20, it says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Everybody say, I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. Now, pertaining to, now you back it up now, as Pastor Cynthia was talking about during the offering teaching, you back it up to what to know. What do I know? Well, let's start with verse 15. Love not the what? World, neither things that are where? In the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't have both, right? It's not good to be fence straddling. For all that's in the world, this is what's all in the world. So the Bible doesn't stretch, fabricate, or embellish. So the Bible says all that's in the world is what? Three things. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. So we're ambassadors from another world. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so, and the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth what? Forever. Now he goes on to tell us some insight on why we need this unction from the Holy One. Little children, last time, and you heard it was said that the Antichrist, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many, what? Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It represents, it means the Hebrew word is Messiah. Christ, the anointed one, in his anointing. So Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. We have an anointing from Jesus that's in us. And this anointing helps us function in this world in all things that pertain to the Christian life. Because he said they're minty what? Anti-anointings. There are many anti-anointings that have come whereby we know that it's the last time. Now, he tells us, and they went out from us and were not of us, because if they'd been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. See, people that come into your life, are they going to take you up or take you down or get you stuck? And like the scripture says in Ecclesiastes, dead flies in the anointing of the apothecary causes to bring forth a stinky odor. You got some dead flies flying around people. And so they're anti-anointing. That means they teach against the anointing, the anointed Jesus, the anointing and the anointed one. Because that's what the world teaches. This is a big split between truth and error. Now he said, he tells us, you got to, this goes on to tell us that it's no lie in the truth, this anointing, this unction. And it talks about the world teaches a lie, denying that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist spirit. Amen? And then go skip down to verse 27. But the anointing, everybody say anointing, which you have received of him does what? Where does it? Where does it live? Where does it abide? Abideth where? In you. So make a note, the anointing of the Holy Spirit abides in me. And you need not that any man teach you anything, but the same anointing teaches you all things pertaining to the Christian life and journey. Now, you need teachers in your life, but you have the anointing to tell between lie and truth, good and evil. and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So write this down. Write this note down. There are two streams. Everybody say there are. Two streams of the anointing. So the anointing is one first in you and second on you. Now let's turn to Acts 1:8. Then we go see the video of anointing on you. Acts 1:8. Now here it says the anointing abides within you. Now let's look at Acts 1:8. So the anointing in you helps you with your character, your conduct, and your commitment in your life and walk with Christ as a Christian believer. The anointing in you helps you with your character, your conduct, and your commitment to your life and walk in Christ as a Christian believer in Christ. So you need both streams to be working for you. The anointing on you is for service in Christ, to do your job, to carry out your assignment. Now let's look at Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come where? Upon you. Now we just saw the Holy Spirit, the anointing is in you. Now here, he's on you. He's on you for ministry, for exploits. And you shall be what? Witness. Now, anybody notice one of the phrases in the song that we sung tonight, fullness? We sung the song. It says, a witness testifying of your son. Tongues of fire testifying of your son. Right? So what does the Holy Spirit come upon you? For goosebumps? He's in charge of the goosebumps department? No. He's there to empower you to be a witness. To witness who? Jesus. Because it's the same anointing that comes on you to reflect his image. To show Christ through your life. The true Jesus. It's the same anointing that he had when he was here on the earth, because you're a part of the body. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. After that, the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in different areas all over the world. So this anointing, Acts 10:28 says it's a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. It helps you carry out your particular work in ministry. We all have a universal purpose, which is called the Great Commission, in what we call it evangelism and discipleship. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. So everybody say, I have an anointing to preach the gospel to every creature in my world. Amen. So you might not go into all the world, but you can go into all your world. So you have an anointing that will come upon you to witness to them. That just categorizes of showing Christ or sharing Christ. And then you have an anointing to make disciples. Matthew 28, going to and teach all nations. One of the ministries of the church, we said, is a ministry of reconciliation, telling people about Jesus, that they be reconciled to God. Amen. So we're going to see a video real quick of this anointing in action on the life of Todd White. I think Brother Steve remembers. We was at the men's conference. And so he's a powerful minister of God. But he operates in this anointing. This anointing is active on his life, but it can be in everybody's life. So let's go ahead. Go ahead and cue it up, Kristen.
Yeah. that we just knew that it would come. But for tomorrow, I'm going to need supplies, shaving. So we go to Walmart to get our things, and we walk in the door, and Keith has to go and get a whole bunch of stuff, and I got to get some stuff. And I see this guy that's sitting in this scooter, and I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, man." I said, "What happened to you?" He goes, "I got a bunch of stuff wrong with me. I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that." "Well, can I pray for you?" And he goes, "No, you ain't gonna pray for me. I'm okay. Like, I don't need no prayer." He believes in God, but like, he doesn't want anything to do with that at all. And I shared my testimony with him, and he lightened up, and I said, "Come on, man, let me pray for you, man." He goes, "All right." So I kneeled down on the ground, and I prayed for him and stuff, believing that Jesus is gonna heal his body and touch him. And he's like, thank you very much. And I shared my heart a little bit with the girls, and he's like, "All right, well, appreciate it." And he kind of went off on his way. And I immediately in my heart heard, I need to give this guy $100. So I run up to the register and I withdraw $100. I walk up to him and I go, "Let me see your hand." And,
"Hey, bro.
Hey.
Here. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Man, Jesus, you know what that just did in my life.
I do. Messed it up.
No, I fixed it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, in a good way. That's what I mean.
I appreciate that, man. I really do.
God spoke to me when we were over there. He said, "I want you to give that man $100. Tell him I love him."
I know, dude.
He loves
you.
Yeah. Can I give you a hug?
Yeah, hell yeah.
It doesn't matter what they say, but when they do say, "This is an amazing thing," it's good because, it's an appreciation. And to you, it might not be a big deal to give your waitress $10, but it's a huge deal to them. If your food was 10 bucks and you tip them 10 bucks, it's totally crazy and they freak out because why would you do that? But because God loves the world he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. And me as a Christian, I want to be a giver.
So tell me this, because I know what I heard in my heart. He told me specifically that amount. Why did he say that?
Because I owe the insurance company $97 right now.
It is. God heard.
All the bills are paid except the insurance, man.
That's it, man. That's good. I just needed to know.
So then we walk on, and I got to go down and get some other stuff down there in the men's section. And I see this guy. I say, "Can you help us?" And he's helping us. And I say, "Hey, man, before you go, man," I said, "how's your back? Like, how's your body holding up, your knees and stuff?"
Oh, my foot hurts all the time.
What happened?
Because I had surgery on it.
When?
Long time ago, dude. I was like 14, 15.
Which, your right foot?
Yeah.
What kind of surgery?
They put a screw in it.
Will you do me a favor?
What's up?
Can I pray for your foot?
Sure, man.
Don't let me freak you out. Let me pray for your foot. All right.
All right, man.
Where's the pain at? In the top?
Yes.
Father, I thank you in the name. It should be warm.
That's weird.
No. Come here. What does it feel like? It should
warm.
Be actually really warm.
It's really warm.
Right where the screw is.
Yeah.
So like,
check this dude out.
So I asked him if he had any pain, because you guys work hard, dude. And a lot of times backs are messed up because you're lifting all the time, right? So I just asked him about his foot, and it should be on fire right now, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Where the screw was. So we prayed for him, and I've watched Jesus do amazing miracles. We watched him take metal out of bodies, man.
Let this dude pray for you, man. Let him pray for you. It was just amazing because Jesus had this kid all like heated up with his presence.
I got pointers in my foot.
So. Where is it?
That pointer's fasciitis.
Oh, bro. Oh. Right foot?
Go for it, man. It works, dude.
Come here, let me pray for you. We got to work. What do you got to worry about?
You just believe in it, man.
Father,
it's crazy.
I thank you in Jesus' name.
My whole foot's
brand new foot right now.
It's weird, man. It's crazy.
Right now, that tonight when he takes that brace off, it's all gone. Yeah. In Jesus' name.
That's feeling a little better.
See, I told you, it's weird.
Yeah, it is warm.
I believe Jesus removed that screw. I believe that pain won't be there, and he'll be freaked out by it. Go to the doctors, and that screw will be gone. Won't that be awesome?
Well, watch. What do you think just happened to your foot?
That was weird. That's why it's blowing my mind, dude.
It's amazing.
I said, "Isn't that awesome? Where that screw was, it's hot." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you a Christian?" He goes, "No, I'm a Wiccan." I said, "Hey, man," I said, "I need to pray again for you. You mind if I pray for you?" And I put my hand on his chest. I'm not threatened by it, man. You don't be threatened by witchcraft. We carry light. You don't be threatened by darkness.
Father, I thank you in Jesus' name.
Well, I hit it.
It's for real, man. Bro, he loves you, I promise, man.
Sometimes people say, well, why didn't you get him to pray the prayer? Why didn't you get him saved? Why didn't you do this? First of all, you don't get anybody saved. There's no, we are, we sow, we water. God brings the increase. God is the one that does the saving. We are his vessels, but I can't be so after their jugular vein that I'm not realizing that God's after their heart.
That thing will never trouble you again, bro.
It is, I hope not.
It's still on fire, man.
Oh yeah, it is.
It's weird. Yeah. Bless you, man.
So I believe this. I believe that kid's going to go home, both of them. I believe they're going to go home, and I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be up all night, and what he'll do is say, I love you. I've always loved you. That man was from me. He was a messenger. He loves you. And I don't believe they'll be able to get out of it. And I always pray after I touch somebody, if I don't see them come to Jesus, I always pray, God, send forth laborers into the harvest field, right where they are. God, let them be totally swamped with Christians that love God. Let them be surrounded. Let other people water where I just sowed. God, bring increase, bring increase, bring increase. I have faith in seed. I have faith that God says when the seed is sown, it grows up. I have faith that somebody's will that's dominated by lies and principalities has nothing on someone's will that's possessed by truth and hopes the best. I just believe that his free will that's blinded by lies cannot dominate my will that is possessed by the truth that God wants all people to be saved and that they come to the knowledge of him.
Amen. Wasn't that good? That the anointing in action. Praise God. So activate your anointing. Everybody say, I have an anointing.
I have an anointing.
In. Everybody say this. I am anointed and upon me.
And upon me.
Amen. Everybody say this. I am anointed.
I am anointed.
And I have an anointing.
And I have an anointing.
Now, see, you can do two things. You can let the anointing lie dormant or docile in your life, or you can activate it in both arenas. You can, the anointing in you is there to teach you how to live this. It's the how-to anointing. How do I do this? How do I get this done? It's helping you personal, private, working out and walking out your salvation in Christ. All the benefits of it. That's the anointing in you. But the anointing on you is for you to serve the kingdom and serve God with. And it empowers you to be a witness. So you have to activate this anointing. Amen? And we said that anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. It's the divine endowment given by the Holy Spirit, render the believers holy and separated unto God for their particular work and ministry. It symbolizes the anointing equipment for service, your gifts, talents, and God-given abilities. So you've been allocated and anointed to activate God's given gifts, talents, and abilities. Now, how do you do it? So write these five things down. How do I activate the anointing? Now, this again, that's why I want you to take notes, because I don't want you to be clueless on how to activate the anointing. Because the anointing makes things work. The anointing makes ministry work. Amen? First, the anointing... The Holy Spirit is the agent of in sanctification. If you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been called and anointed unto God by the Holy Spirit. So you got to believe, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:13, that I've been called and anointed. So you got to say that. You have to acknowledge that. You have to accept that. That you've been called and anointed. So just like I had you repeating after me, I am anointed. I have an anointing. You know, you can say it like that. You know, it was interesting. A baseball team that was way out of their league. It was actually ORU baseball team, small college and you know, private school, private college, and they were confessing all the way through, and they made it to the semifinal rounds of the College World Series by saying it before every game, I am anointed to play baseball on another level in the name of Jesus, all to the glory of God. So what can you say? Say, I'm anointed. Say it with me. I'm anointed to minister and witness on another level in the name of Jesus, all to the glory of God. I am anointed with the Holy Spirit to be a witness like never before in the name of Jesus, all to the glory of God. Amen. Secondly, the anointing, an increase of the anointing comes by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So you got to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. We know Acts 2:4, Acts 13:52, Ephesians 5:18. Acts 2:4, Acts 13:52, and Ephesians 5. Never mistake your receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit as in the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the end of the journey. It's just the introduction to the workings of the Holy Spirit in your life. The anointing is the force of power of God operating in an individual, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the enabler. Without the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, every assignment becomes hard. And that's why people quit and give up in their faith life and faith walk with God. That's a tragedy. The anointing is a divine empowerment to make ministry triumphant, not task-oriented or heavy-laden. You don't get burnt out when you're under the anointing. Remember, they had to be filled with the Spirit just to serve food in Acts chapter 6. That's right. Why? Because you can get offended, messed up, and get into a food fight without the anointing. You've probably seen that in a personal situation. You know, people get arguing over food and pieces, and all of a sudden you lost the anointing. Hallelujah. So it's the divine empowerment to make ministry triumphant. Third, revelation is an aspect of the anointing. So the Holy Spirit reveals God's plan step upon step and teaches the believer how to execute it. So sometimes we're trying to get information, but you already have the impartation of the anointing. You just activate it. Holy Spirit, how do I? It's the how-to anointing on the inside. Amen? So the only way a believer can hear the Holy Spirit reveal God's plan for their life is step out and become involved. Amen. In the local church or local body. So a believer, God-given talents, gifts, and abilities are in the body of Christ. Gifts operate in the church. Therefore, the believer must become involved in order to find their special spiritual ministry gifts and place in the body. It's a training process to be led by the Spirit. Amen? This is spiritual training. Fourthly, the only way a believer can find his or her equipment, God-given gifts, talents, and abilities for service is by using them. You've heard the phrase, now the use it or lose it. So, now the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. God doesn't take them back, but you can allow them to lie dormant and docile, and never active or activated in your life. So you got to use it. So if you got a gift to teach, you got to be teaching or preparing to teach. Amen? If you got a gift of prophecy, then you, or exhortation, let's just use that one. Exhortation, then there's a gift to encourage. That means you got to start encouraging, allowing the Holy Spirit to use you as an encourager in the ministry of encouragement. Amen? That means encouragement is building the body up, benefiting the body, blessing people in the body. Got to use it. I'm waiting for somebody to tap me on the shoulder or call on me. We still can activate your anointing. The anointing makes room for you. Because many believers too often get misinformed in thinking that they need to see physical proof of their abilities before they get involved. Oh, I can't do that. If you've been appointed, you are anointed. If you've been appointed, you are anointed. And we often said the best ability is what?
Availability.
So God doesn't need your ability. He provides the ability. He just needs your what? Availability. I'll pray. I'll eat. And then the prayer anointing will begin to flow in your life. And you, as you yield and exercise your faith in that anointing, you activate a greater anointing. And it's because the anointing can come in degrees. You can be a more effective prayer as you yield to the anointing. Amen? Don't stay on a rut and stay in a box and become unteachable. Because the anointing, like the Holy Spirit, is a gentleman. You can resist the anointing. You can repel the anointing. Or you can yield to the anointing. All right? All right? Is this good? So you can't see them with your natural eyes. When you use them, they become tangible. When you use those God-given gifts, talents, abilities, they are these which are supernatural. They will become visible to your and become tangible, amen. Or become tangible in the sense where you can recognize that this gift is in operation. All right. Fifthly, lastly, the crucial key to operating your gift, talents, abilities being available to in the local church. Now, some people think, well, I just need to work in church, but really, service begins when the worship gathering together ends. So he said, go into all the what? Preach God. That's our first, well, that's our major priority, right? Go witness. Well, I can't do that. Well, I need somebody to teach me all the 10 steps. No, share your testimony. I need a whole bunch of tracks and cards. No, you need to be available. You need to be available. He's already given us the direction. Go. And what happened when they went? God worked with them, confirming his word that they preach. He said, go and preach your name. Go and preach some church. Go preach the gospel to all the world. When you preach the gospel, signs and wonders follow the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Amen? He said, working with them with signs and wonders following the word. So you become an instrument God uses. You become an extension and an outreach to the church. Someone said, whoa, what's the outreach program? It's you. Look in the mirror. It's you. You saw Todd White, Power of a Seed. You're in Walmart. You're an extended outreach of the local church. Allow the Holy Spirit to anoint you. That means you don't go to the store without praying up. I know it in my personal, give you a brief personal example, not example, but just illustration, that I know when I'm prayed up and filled up with the Spirit and the Word, when I go to Walmart, God uses me. When I'm not, I can talk about me, nobody get offended. When I'm not, I'm all business. I won't be bothered with nobody. I'll even have my headset on, and I don't want to be bothering nobody. I'm listening to my music. I'm just doing my thing, picking up my stuff, and getting out of there. But then what happens? I walk out. I wasn't available to the Holy Spirit. And if I'm not available at HEB, Target, or Walmart, or wherever, then he's not going to use me. Amen? Everybody say the best ability is availability. Will you let him use you? Everybody say it again. I am anointed.
I have an anointing.
In and upon me. So you say that. So I drive up there, and I already know the Holy Spirit wants to do something. And I say, I'm anointed, and I'm available. Holy Spirit, you show me. And I'll just go and do my thing, and then all of a sudden he'll tell me, look over there. You know, get, do this. And there's times where, you know, you bought somebody. I was able to minister somebody, bought their groceries, pay for their groceries, open the door to witness, just like the money thing. Planting seed. Our job is to plant. Like he said with Paul and Apollo, one planet, one water, but God gives the increase. Amen. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is your entire lifestyle is a witness. Stand. You can stand while I finish this up. For the Lord. Your entire lifestyle is a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer has an anointing that abides within him permanently. This is a divine calling, friends. You can stand. God has separated you unto himself for a particular work. Now, stepping out without the anointing is like going to play football without your uniform and your equipment. Your flesh will soon realize it can't handle the punishment. It's just like, you know, a lot of times people want to say something and dog out their family members who are not on fire for the Lord or not serving the Lord. And then they do it out of a natural positional place of, I'm your parent or I'm your brother or I'm your sister. And they're not anointed. Why? Because the entryway is being filled with the Spirit. And so once you get filled with the Spirit, the anointing begins to bubble up and activate and come up, and now you know the right words to say, the right time to say them, the right phrases to give them, because your target is their heart and not their head. Just like Todd White said, you're going after your heart, people's hearts. That's why the word is spiritual. It doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't make sense to believe something that happened years ago, but God can take that event and translate it into personal victory that you just share with someone else. God loves you. He came to, he died for you through Jesus Christ on the cross and rose again for the gospel, and where the gospel goes, the Holy Spirit flows. Amen. It's God's protection plan for us, enabling all of us to fulfill our divine calling and our divine assignment. Amen. Say it one more time. I am anointed. I have an anointing in me and upon me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I yield to the greater one. I allow the greater one to dominate me, to lead me, to guide me, to protect me, and to provide for me. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Come on.